Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Coromandel International Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you everyone for joining Q1 FY24 earnings con call of Coromandel International hosted by Elara Securities. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. From the management side, we have Mrs. Jayashree Satagopan, President Corporate and CFO, Mr. Shankar Subramanian S., Executive Director Nutrient Business, and Dr. Raghuram Devarakonda, Executive Director CPC Bio and Retail Business. I would request the management to give their opening remarks on the result, post which we will start with the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to the management team.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Prashant, for organizing the conference call. Let me first give an overview of the business environment experienced during the quarter, followed by the company's performance, and then we can have the Q&A session. On the global economy, there's been a muted recovery in the global growth as inflationary pressure, overall slowdown in the demand, and geopolitical issues continue to persist. The commodity prices like energy, fertilizer, and metals have dropped from the 2022 peak levels following the buildup of gas inventories in Europe and lower-than-expected recovery in China, although the food prices remain stable. As far as the Indian economy is concerned, it is progressing well and is projected to be the fastest-growing large economy. IMF, in their latest economic outlook, has revised India's GDP growth upwards by 0.2% to 6.1% in 2023. This reflects the momentum from the stronger-than-expected growth in Q4 as a result of stronger domestic investments. During the quarter, tax collections remained buoyant. However, the inflationary concerns still persist. Indian agriculture. After a slow start to the Kharif season, the southwest monsoon has picked up in the last one month. As of date, the country has received 7% higher rainfall compared to the long-period average. This has resulted in improved crop sowing by 1%, with major increase coming under paddy and maize. Amongst our key markets, there's been good recovery in monsoons, with the exception of east, with catchment regions of Krishna and Godavari basins receiving good rainfall in July. The associated reservoir levels have been continuously improving. As of 27th of July, all India reservoir levels stand at 111% of the long-period average. This bodes well for the agri-inputs consumption, and we expect the agri scenario to be favorable in the upcoming months. Policy updates. During Q1, the government approved the NBS rate for the first half of the year. These are in line with the moderation in raw material prices of key commodities. To encourage balanced use of fertilizers in conjunction with bio and organic fertilizers, government has recently announced PM PRANAM, Program for Restoration, Awareness, Nourishment, and Amelioration of Mother Earth scheme. It aims to promote balanced fertilizer usage and incentivizes states to adopt alternate fertilizers. Towards this, government continues to provide support to the industry towards promoting Nano DAP and Nano Urea fertilizers, along with focus on drone-based application deliveries. Fertilizer industry performance. Global availability of key commodities remained at comfortable levels, and the industry witnessed softening of prices of major raw materials. Domestically, the fertilizer consumption in Q1 was impacted by delay in the onset of monsoons. This resulted in build-up of channel inventory. However, with the revival of monsoons in July, the consumption is fast improving. For the quarter, DAP and complex fertilizer industry's primary sales volume was marginally up by 1%. Current year at 54.9 lakh metric ton vis-a-vis a 54.5 lakh metric ton in the previous year, with higher imported DAP sales. DAP and complex fertilizer industry's consumption indicated by the POS sales volumes was up by 4%. In the current year, it is 38 lakh metric ton vis-a-vis 36.4 lakh metric ton in the last year. Coromandel's performance. Coromandel posted a steady performance in Q1, registering a volume growth in phosphatic fertilizer and sustaining its profitability. Despite the challenging business environment as delayed monsoon onset impacted crop sowing and agri-inputs application. Nutrient and allied business performance was led by a robust 18% sales volume growth in phosphatic fertilizers. The crop protection segment performance during the quarter was affected by industry headwinds and subnormal rainfall in its key markets. Coromandel ensured that agri-inputs are made available to the farmers in its key operating markets and promoted the use of balanced nutrition and integrated pest management to help rejuvenate the soil and farm productivity. Company's nutrient segment performance. The nutrient and allied business segment revenue increased 18% during the quarter. Company's fertilizer projects registered a growth during the year, both in terms of turnover and profitability. On the sales front, the business registered a sales volume of 8.6 lakh metric ton during the quarter, which is 18% higher than the last year at 7.3 lakh metric ton. Manufactured DAP plus complex volumes were 7.6 lakh metric ton, higher by 10% over last year. Company's market share, including NPK and DAP, grew during the quarter to 15.6% vis-a-vis 13.3% in the last year. In SSP, the quarter one sales was at 1.8 lakh metric ton, registering a growth of 13% over previous year. Market share for the quarter went up to 13.7% from 11.9% in the last year. During the quarter, our DAP and complex fertilizer plants operated at near full capacity and produced 9.4 lakh tons. Last year, the same number was 7.9 lakh metric tons of fertilizer. Phosphoric acid production during the quarter was at 1.1 lakh metric tons, same as previous year. Major capital expenditure projects like the sulfuric acid plant and the desalination plant at Vizag are progressing well and are expected to be commissioned in August 2023. During the quarter, the company conducted soft launch of Nano DAP, a cutting-edge nanotechnology-based fertilizer developed at its R&D center. The product is expected to be introduced in the second half of the year and can provide impetus to sustainable farming practices by providing site-specific nutrition and improving nutrient use efficiency. As part of the Pradhan Mantri Kisan Samriddhi Kendra PMKSK initiative, the company is progressing well and has established approximately 8,800 stores till date. These stores complement a retail monogram of stores in ensuring availability of quality agri-inputs. On the crop protection side, the business had a tough quarter, especially in domestic markets, as high channel inventories, pricing pressure, and delayed monsoon arrival impacted the operation. The export business has performed well and has grown by 17% during the quarter, with major increases coming from the Latin American market. The business continued to work towards improving its manufacturing efficiencies. It is expanding its product portfolio and plans to launch novel combination and technical products during the year. It has also started the preparatory work for establishing the large-scale multi-purpose plant and has acquired 50 acres of land at Dahej. As part of its expansion into specialty chemical segment, the company has identified few complementary chemistries and plans to introduce products in the second quarter by leveraging its technical capabilities and existing plant infrastructure. The bioproducts business of the company is expanding its non-azadirachtin portfolio and is working on alternate plant extract-based products. Pilot trials have been successful and the business expects to commercialize the product during the year. Our retail stores operated well during the quarter, focusing on providing all-round agri-solutions, including products, farm advisory, mechanization services. Business is also exploring to scale up its financial services offering. As part of this strategy to identify new growth opportunities in adjacent and step-out areas, Coromandel acquired majority shareholding in Daksha Unmanned Systems Private Limited, Daksha, a Chennai-based differentiated drone startup. Daksha is a leading player in drone space in India, providing complete range of unmanned aerial systems, technology solutions across agriculture, defense, surveillance, and enterprise applications. With that, let me now take you through the company's financial performance. Turnover. Coromandel recorded a consolidated total income of 5,738 crores during the quarter vis-a-vis 5,783 crores for the quarter in the prior year. This registers a degrowth of 1%. The decrease in revenue is mainly on account of the falling raw material prices and subsequently a lower subsidy rate in the fertilizer business compared to the previous year. Nutrient and allied business contributed to 90% share and the remaining 10% comes from the crop protection business for the quarter. Subsidy versus non-subsidy share of business stands at 86% and 14% during the quarter. Previous year it was 83% and 17%. Profitability. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was 709 crores against 685 crores during the last year. Subsidy business share in EBITDA stands at 84% during the year. Previous year it was 77%. Net profit after tax for the quarter on a consolidated basis was rupees 494 crores in comparison to 499 crores for the corresponding quarter last year. Subsidy. During the quarter, company received rupees 2069 crores towards subsidy. Comparative figure last year was 136 crores. Subsidy outstanding as on 30th June 2023 was at rupees 2816 crores. Which is 2,731 crores in the previous year. Interest. During the quarter, company earned a net interest income, excluding the Ind AS interest, of rupees 11 crores vis-a-vis the interest income of rupees 22 crores in the same quarter in the last year. Company maintained its surplus fund in board approved securities, and these are earmarked for specific growth-related investments. Credit rating. The company's balance sheet continues to be strong and the long-term rating by CRISIL continued to be at CRISIL AAA stable and the short-term rating at CRISIL A1+. The company's long-term credit rating by India Ratings and Research, a Fitch Group company, continued to be at IND AAA stable and short-term debt rating at IND A1+. Forex, during the first quarter, rupee traded in a relatively narrow range of rupees 81.62 to rupees 82.93. Coromandel continued to follow its conservative approach in terms of hedging the forex exposure, and this has immensely helped in limiting the impact of currency fluctuations. With the improved coverage of southwest monsoon across India, we expect the agri inputs consumption to pick up well in the second quarter. We are committed to driving integrated farm management practices and introducing novel technologies that can enhance the efficiency of agricultural solutions and improve the sustainability of Indian farms. Thank you very much for your interest in Coromandel and joining us in the call today. We look forward to your interactions. We can open the session for question answers now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So can you talk about the EBITDA margin per ton for manufacturing NPK and DAP fertilizer? It seems it has gone up YOY. So what is the reason for that?
So Sumant, as I have been mentioning in the past, we should be looking at the EBITDA per ton on an annual basis. There will be seasonalities on a quarter-to-quarter basis, depending on the volumes, the raw material prices, the subsidy rates, so on and so forth. So when you look at it on an annualized basis, I think we will be in the range of 5,500 to 6,000 rupees, as we had indicated earlier.
So this 5,500 to 6,000, you are talking about manufacturing NPK and DAP EBITDA per ton?
Yeah, this is a manufacturing product EBITDA per ton.
X of SSP, correct?
Yeah, yeah. This is not SSP. This is only NPK and DAP.
Okay. So my question is, the ammonia price has declined significantly. So is that also a reason for margin expansion, or we have already cut the price of NPK or DAP manufacture fertilizer?
With the raw material prices coming down, not just on ammonia, but across all the key commodities, we have also seen a large moderation that has happened in the subsidy rates, effective 1st of April 2023. So the MRPs are more or less at the same level. However, there has been a reduction in the subsidy rates.
Okay.
So that takes care of the reduction in the raw material prices to a large extent. What you also see is the plants running at near full capacity, phosphoric acid production also at its full capacity, which along with the other operational improvements happening at the plant, is helping to sustain the margin level.
Why I am asking ammonia? Because ammonia is one third of the peak price, and phosphoric price is 50% of the peak price. That is why I'm asking, are we getting any benefit of higher decline in raw material prices?
Yeah, we have seen that in the first quarter, right? There is a benefit that definitely flows from the lower raw material prices, and ammonia prices have come down even during the quarter. What it was in the beginning of the quarter to and what it has actually closed in the end of the quarter, there is a difference. So the benefit of raw material prices do flow in into the margin. But to some extent, it also gets offset because of the correction that has happened in the NBS rate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sumant.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nirav Jimuria from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, ma'am. So I just wanted to understand on the SSP side of our business, because we have seen last year our volumes going up by 19%. Even in first quarter, we have registered good 13-14% of volume growth. And what we could understand is that government is now providing the freight subsidies for sending SSP to the distant regions, which earlier was not the case. Plus, if I go through your annual report, we have revived our old Pali plant capacity, which has helped us to improve the production rates, improve the production of phosphorus pentosulfide. So all these measures, coupled with the fact that government is now incentivizing SSP, If you can share your qualitative thoughts on this, and if it's possible to share how much is the contribution in terms of EBITDA from the SSP business in FY 2023 or probably in Q1 of FY 2024, that would be helpful.
Okay. So there has been good traction from the government in terms of incentivizing the production of SSP units. And not just the Pali unit, in the last year and a half, we have also started operations at Ennore. There are two units in addition to what we traditionally used to operate for SSP plants. That has actually helped us in increasing the tonnage of production. Having said that, the state subsidy that was for SSP was only for a certain point in time. So the industry is continuing to work with the government to ensure that there is state subsidy that is given. SSP, unlike NPK, there are units which are closer to the market. So the intent is to see how SSP production can meet with the demand of the market closer to the respective areas. That's been the overall philosophy. And unlike in NPK, the major raw material for SSP is rock and to some extent sulfuric acid. While the sulfuric acid prices have trended down, the rock prices are holding at closer to last year's level.
Correct.
Even when the phosphoric acid prices had increased, there was a lag in the rock prices, as you would all have observed.
Yeah.
Now, when the phosphoric prices have come down, the rock prices will follow the trend, but it will have a lag effect. And therefore, to some extent, this will impact the margins in the SSP business. Normally, in SSP business, the SSP products have a margin of about 2,000 to 2,500. In some cases where we have value-added SSP, it can go up to 3,000 rupees per metric ton. That's a broad range one has to look into.
Yeah. Okay. And ma'am, one more statement in the annual report where we mentioned that through our R&D initiatives, we have identified a suitable substitute raw material. This would probably help. And this was about the Kakinada plant, where we were able to increase the production of one of the trains by close to 21%. And with this now, we have an assured supply of that raw material, which earlier was not the case. So if you can just help us understand what actually we have breakthrough into, and could this be a substantial savings in terms of our fertilizer business, where our EBITDAs could be improved or could provide some sort of fillip to the absolute EBITDAs or even the per ton margins, if you can share your views.
Yeah. No, again, a good question, Mira. What we continuously do is to look out for different sources of raw material and different types of raw material have the flexibility to operate with different RM in terms of grades, whether it is rock, whether it is sulfuric acid, so on and so forth. And this is one such initiative that was taken up last year. And when we do such R&D initiatives and get it into production, there could be two things that can happen. Depending on the RM prices which we are sourcing, there could be a savings that can accrue to the company. The second thing, it can help in improving the throughput. So last year, we had a good improvement that has happened in the throughput by getting into alternate materials. And depending on the price situation, we will take a call whether we have to go with our traditional method or do a combination of those with the newer materials. So that's something that the company continuously does. And thanks to our manufacturing team, they have developed immense flexibility in terms of processing multiple types and grades of raw material, which is what is giving the flexibility to the fertilizer business in terms of quickly adopting and increasing the throughput.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Nirav, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. In the interest of time and fairness to all participants, may we request all the participants to limit their questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, ma'am. Good afternoon. Two questions and one clarification from me. For the clarification, the subsidy EBITDA for the base quarter was 87% or 78%?
No, I didn't understand your question.
The subsidy share of EBITDA in the base quarter, that is Q1 of FY23, was it 78% or 87%?
One second. You're asking on the subsidy versus non-subsidy business, right?
Correct.
So, for the first quarter, the non-subsidy business is at 14%, subsidy business is at 86% this year.
And last year?
Last year, non-subsidy was
70%. I'm talking about the share of EBITDA, not the revenue.
But we don't give you a... It was 84% during this year, and in the last year, subsidy business share was 77%.
Perfect. That's helpful. Two questions, ma'am. One, ma'am, if you see the volumes, there has been a significant uptake in your trading business as well as your DAB business. If you could give us a sense on how the operating dynamics for this market were in this quarter versus the base period. So that's one. The second question is, was there any provision that you took in Q4 23 as a matter of prudence and consonance with lightening up of raw materials? If so, could you quantify the amount?
Yeah. Karan, I'm going to just pass on this question to Shankar, who's in the call, and I can come back to you on the financials. Shankar, over to you.
So good afternoon. On the volume front, we have taken up DAP trading quota, basically we want to utilize our capacity for our NPK production, and we focused on DAP imports. Hence, we have seen the uptick in DAP volumes. And also, we have imported NP fertilizer as well during this quarter. So this has helped us to balance the volumes between our own manufacturing as well as imports, and that has also increased the volume in the first quarter.
So, but was there a change in the operating dynamics of the market in this quarter versus the previous quarter for such a sharp, delta that we've seen in both DAP as well as trading?
No, not really. First quarter is not a consuming month. It's more of a positioning which happens. So, consumption happens only when the season starts in July. So, since we have adequate volume with enhanced production, if you look at our production numbers for the last year, first quarter and this quarter, there's been a significant volume increase in our production, because we carried out our annual turnaround in the last month of the previous year. So all our plants ran flat out in the first quarter. That has helped us to position the material closer to the marketplace. And that's why you're seeing the significant volume jump in this quarter.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. On the provision question in Q4 23?
So... we have made the necessary adjustment in the books as a conservative principle based on the likely subsidy reduction that is supposed to come in. This has also been disclosed in the notes to the accounts. As the new NBS rates had come in, we didn't see any material change that would warrant an accounting or a disclosure. So all of this has been considered in the previous quarter.
Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishal B. from Bandhan Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Just one question. When we look at the prices of raw materials, rock has been pretty steady, and whereas acid has come down substantially. So can this lead to compression of spreads for our manufactured portion of DAP and NPK in the coming two quarters?
As I was mentioning, Vishal, when the raw material prices had gone up steeply, rock was following. It did not happen simultaneously. Similarly, when we are seeing correction in the phosphoric acid prices, the rock prices are trending down, but not at that same pace. So you are right. When the acid prices are lower and the rock prices are slightly higher, the value gap capture could be lower than otherwise. But you should also look at it. Coromandel has both integrated manufacturing as well as granulation plants. So when the coal prices come down along with all other raw material prices, the granulation plant's margin also go up. So this is a very nice balancing that we have. We have both backward integrated as well as granulation plant. It sort of complement each other.
Okay. So when you say for the full year, the 5,500 to 6,000 rupees per ton for manufactured, this assumes that their rock should fall subsequently, right? I mean, this in case that doesn't happen, then there, this number could be at risk in case of that scenario only.
So this is considering a balance of multiple factors, right? There is raw material prices, not only of rock, there is phosphoric acid, there is sulfuric acid, there is ammonia, urea, and then there is also the government subsidy related, and then there is the factor of MRP price increase or decrease. So taking into consideration all these factors, we believe that about 5,500 to 6,000 is an achievable margin for the year.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations, Jayasri and Shankar, on the excellent number on in challenging environment. First, can you throw some light on the economics of nano DAP and the raw material of the availability, whether it's again imported or available domestically, and how do we see these dynamics to play out? And second, and any color on this, our investment in this drone business. So is it generating revenue or not? What is the potential? And when it will start, contributing to what bottom line of the company?
Thank you, Baricha. What I'll do is on nano DAP, Shankar has been working on it. We are heading this initiative, the company. So I'm going to leave this question to him. And let me come back on the drones. Shankar.
Yeah, on nano DAP, in terms of raw material availability, they are all indigenously available. And we have established sources for them. So we don't anticipate any challenge. And capacity is coming up in Kakinada, and hopefully we should be able to commercialize the plant in October. With regard to the prospects, we have been carrying out extensive field trials in the marketplace, and we could see potential. Close to 50% of current use of DAP can be replaced with nano DAP, but it takes time. And crops like with the high vegetation like tomatoes, chickpeas, there's been good traction on nano DAP. But these are all very early stages. Once the product is commercially available from October onwards, we will be extensively promoting this product in those states where imported DAP is used in abundance. So we will be targeting this product, nano DAP, in the northern markets, especially states like MP, UP, Punjab, Haryana, where there is extensive overuse of DAP. So that's our approach.
Okay, on the drones, you had a question. As you know, this is a startup where we had earlier invested about 18% and we are now taking it up to 51%. The transaction is yet to get completed. It will hopefully by end of July. And this drone company is looking into offerings in multiple segments. They have recently received an order of 400 drones from IFFCO for the agricultural front. And they are working with depends on the emergency procurement area for logistics-related drones. Now, there are applications on the enterprise side. We have been working with some of the oil majors. And obviously, there is also a play on the defense which can happen at a later point in time. When we look into the technology itself, we know this is very future-oriented and drones are going to play a major role in each of these areas, all the more in agriculture where we are seeing that labor availability cost is posing a challenge. And when we use drones, especially for our liquid fertilizers, specialty nutrients, or crop protection chemicals, the drones help in ensuring the sprays are even, the efficacy seems to be better. So there is a very good future for the use case for drones. The question is it happening today? Yeah, it's a startup. they have been qualified in the multiple categories. And with Coromandel coming in, we will be able to provide the management bandwidth, the guidance, and help them actually reach new scale. So that's what is going to be the initial 1-2 years. As they go along, multiple orders will come, and we expect this to also have a steady stream of income and EBITDA. Obviously, being a 51% company, it will also flow through the company financials, and we'll be able to share with you more in detail as we go along.
And with your permission, last question, ma'am, can we take? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give, sir, color on the now Q2 for Cecil price and trend of the other input and the simultaneously price of the final product?
So, as you know, the raw material prices have all been coming down, right? So, we expect that trend to continue. As far as phosphate is concerned, the price for Q2 is fixed at $850 per metric ton. And the MRP, as I was mentioning earlier, is a factor of multiple things. One is the raw material prices. The second one is the subsidies that the government is giving. And more importantly, we also need to see what is going to be the affordability of the farmers. So considering all of these, the MRP gets moderated during the year. So at this point in time, the MRP prevailing for July is more or less similar to the MRP in the last quarter.
Thank you. May we request Mr. Bharat to join the question queue for follow-up questions. Our next question is from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Two questions. The first is, in terms of the specialty chemical CDMO piece, so we've talked about it in the annual report, and as part of the press release comment by Executive VC, he talks about the company identifying new complementary chemistries and plan to introduce these products in Q2. Could you help us with what are these chemistries we are looking at entering into? And would the CDMO or discussions with innovator startup only post the MPP in the H, or it's something that could start before?
Very good set of questions. Thank you for bringing this up. I have Yahu with us on the line, and I'm going to request him to respond to both the specialty chemicals as well as the CDMO, as we have seen some good amount of progress in both these fronts in the last quarter. Yahu, over to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. So on the specialty chemical front, the idea is to use the existing assets to make products that are targeted towards this segment. So we have identified those molecules that we can potentially manufacture using the existing setup. The other bit is, this is in the first phase. The other bit is, we already have some of these AgChem that we are manufacturing. We find that some of those AgChem molecules are relevant for specialty chemical end use. So we are exploring those as well. So this is in the first phase as far as the specialty chemicals story is concerned. So we should be able to see some action in this area in the current quarter. Moving to CDMO, I don't know if we covered this in some part over the previous call, but I'll repeat. So we do have inquiries that have come up from some of the Japanese innovators as well as European ones. And as you can appreciate, the gestation period for such transactions do take time. But for the moment, the status is that some of them have come and done our due diligence, and they are comfortable with what we have in these plants in Gujarat. So it's progressing in the right direction for tapping into the CDMO opportunity.
Sure. Just a follow-up on this. In terms of, say, announcements of contract signing, would this require the MPP plant to be ready at the Dahej, or existing facilities itself is something that we could process these contracts on when they come?
We have opportunities that do both. So we need to see how it concludes. And once they conclude, we'll definitely come forward and update.
Sure. And in terms of time frame, we expect this the CDMO aligned business to happen in the next 12 months, 18 months, 2 years or longer. Is there some time frame that could be provided?
I think 18 months is a fair estimate as things stand right now.
Sure. So the second question I had was in terms of the Nano DAP, since we are launching in October, I just wanted a sense what kind of capacity are we coming with in terms of how do we see the size of the end market at this point in time, and given that it's not under subsidy. So in terms of pricing, etc., efficacy for the farmer, how do we go about the pricing, and is it sold through those terminals, or is it free pricing in the market? Thank you.
Okay, for the Nano DAP, the initial capacity creation from Coromandel is about 2 crore bottles per annum. This plant will be coming up at our Kakinada facility. And since this is going to be a product which is not subsidized, the market, the pricing would be based on market conditions. Obviously, given the fact that the company has always been endeavoring and working on keeping the farmer's interest first in mind, the pricing will also be on those lines. So as we are closer to the time for launching the product, we will be sharing more particulars with you.
Sure. Looking forward. Thank you and wishing you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a decent set of numbers. Firstly, just a follow-up on the previous question. As we discussed in the last quarter as well, in terms of your cash deployment beyond FY24, any incremental development you would like to share with us? How are we planning to deploy in 25-26?
So there are 2-3 things that we have explained in the past, Naushad, and we just want to reiterate the same. One is there is a good amount of investment that will happen in our core businesses, which is fertilizer and crop protection, because we are looking at strengthening our dominant position in fertilizer. At the same time, we are also looking into getting into new technology areas like nano DAP and other nano products. Similarly, on the crop protection, we have earlier guided that we are looking into setting up new multi-product plants in Ankleshwar and Dahej and a new site at Dahej. Apart from this, there are adjacencies that have been identified like specialty chemicals as well as CDMO, which will call for further investment. The third area that we are looking into is step-out option, which is not part of the core, but could provide a good runway for Coromandel in the future years to come. You would have seen in the last year, we have moved into mining, which is adjacent, but going backward integrated. This year, we are looking into an investment in Daksha, which is again a future-oriented technology, having some adjacencies on the agri space, but also has applications across various other segments. We have been looking into similar growth areas considering the macro indicators and the trends, looking into areas where it can complement our business. And there is opportunities for both organic and inorganic growth. The company would seriously evaluate and invest. The intent is to see how, as Coromandel, we can continue to add value to all our stakeholders. So that's how the cash accumulated by the company will be utilized. You would have also noticed in the past several years that the company has been using its cash reserves for funding all its capital investments. the current sulfuric acid plant, for example, which is coming up at Vizag, the desalination system, or the 1,000 crore of investment that has been announced for CPC is all going to be funded out of the internal accrual. So I'm sure over a period in time, there will be enough projects that will come our way, which will help in the growth journey and purposeful deployment of cash.
See, I'm trying to understand in terms of the deployment within fertilizer and non-fertilizer. So broadly, if you have to give us the percentage, what percentage would go to fertilizer business in next 2 to 3 years, and what percentage would be non-fertilizer investment?
You know, the way these days we look into investment is not fertilizer or non-fertilizer. Fertilizer is a dominant business for us. We continue to be a leading private sector player in this area, and we'll continue to invest in that business. It all depends upon the business case. Similarly, there are interesting new areas that have come in, like a CDMO or a specialty chemicals. So each of the projects will get their due share based on the merits of the case. We are not doing a segregation of saying, I want to invest only so much in a certain type of business. If it is attractive and it makes value in a longer term, there will definitely be investment allocated for that.
Thank you. Mr. Naushad, may we request you to rejoin the question queue? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Jayashree, Shankar and Raghu. Thanks a lot for the call. So, continuing on the discussion on the plans in CDMO and NPP, so if you can help us understand your thought process in CDMO, are you going to be just doing manufacturing contracts, or will you be involved in the entire innovative process, starting with, you know, micro lab, kilo lab, testing, filing dossiers, and taking it through the commercial launch? What is the thought process in CDMO, and are you looking at only agrochemicals, or will you also look at pharma?
So, do you want to take it, or should I?
Yeah. So, see, for starters, we are going to do AgChem, because that's what is familiar to us. And we also have people and connections and relationships with some of these innovators. So it's going to be AgChem oriented to begin with. What were the other questions? Sorry, I didn't catch the...
Yeah, the second thought is, in terms of your overall business model, will you be just doing manufacturing,
yeah,
you know, as an extension of the manufacturing of the innovator, or will you start right
from
the early stage of, you know, my initial R&D, product development, right through the, you know, filing of dossier and then taking it through the commercialization, which is one of the established models?
That's right. So the eventual destination is what you just described. But you'll appreciate, I mean, the customers would like us to graduate step by step. So we're going to start with manufacturing,
okay,
and then graduate step by step. So all the conversations that we're having right now is to manufacture their final active ingredient. So
okay,
that's the nature of conversation we are having right now.
Okay. So just two related thoughts there. One is the promoter group company TI has also decided to enter the CDMO business, and they have identified a business model, and they have, you know, got an alliance with Anupam Design, another emerging CSM company. So is that going to be, you know, under a specific agreement between Coromandel and the TI group that you will not cross each other's stuff, or what is the understanding within the group? Because this is part of the same group. This is why I'm asking the question from an investor's perspective.
Ramesh, each of the companies have their own growth journeys, and they have identified mega trends on which they are working. At this point in time, as Raghu was explaining, we are into agrochemicals, and in agrochemicals itself, there is a huge opportunity for CDMO given the China Plus One, and that's where we are tapping. There could be opportunities in specialty chemicals as we go along, and that probably is a couple of years down the line. At this point in time, we have not thought as much on the pharma side. the current thinking is around agrochemicals and at some point in time getting into specialty chemicals.
Okay, if I can squeeze in a last thought on your, subsidiaries and associate companies, Induxa and the mining investment. When do you mm-hmm. expect these investments to turn profitable on a consolidated basis? And is there any cash flows we'll have to incur, say, in the next 4 to 8 quarters before they turn profitable?
No, as far as the BMCC mines are concerned, there are two steps before we get the rock out of the mines. The basic mining where we remove the overburden, those processes have got stabilized. And we knew as we got into the mining operation, there is lots that has to be done to get consistent output out of that. So we are in the process of getting the second part, which includes crushing, screening, and then getting the rock out in a consistent manner. And we hope in the next 2 to 3 quarters, that process also will stabilize. And as shipments happen, that operation should get profitable. As far as Daksha is concerned, it is an early startup. As I was mentioning, they have just started getting orders. Coromandel's role will also be to help them become a player of scale by providing management guidance, input, support, so on and so forth. So Daksha also will become a profit-making entity at a much sooner date because they just started getting the orders. So they are going to be taking a new manufacturing location where the drones will be manufactured, also tested, and then ship to various customers. So both of them will go on the right traction, and there is enough oversight that is being given by Coromandel to ensure that our investments actually bear the fruits.
Thank you. Mr. Ramesh, may we request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time. On the chemical business, on the specialty chemical, is there any additional capex in thought as to how much we probably might consider to additionally invest in the next couple of years, if there is a broad thought on that?
So Vishnu, currently
currently
what we have considered, the 1,000 crores is mostly going in for agrochemicals. There could be some portion of it which can go in for slight modification or tweaking, alteration of our existing plants where the products can be meeting the specialty chemical segment. We are in the final stages of getting an overall business case for specialty chemicals, considering certain chemistries which are turning out to be very, very attractive. Once that gets completed in the next 3 to 4 weeks time frame, the capital expenditure required for that will also be estimated. So to your question, the answer is currently we do not have anything majorly planned, but based on the business case, I do believe there will be some good amount of investment required for this segment as well.
Understood. And also, the channel inventory, if you could talk about on the fertilizers, we understand channel inventory is slightly higher, and this week in Telangana, the rains have been pretty excessive in certain districts, and some parts of interior Maharashtra, Karnataka are not doing that well. So how do you see the Kharif season, rest of the Kharif season playing out in terms of volumes?
Shankar, if you're there, do you want to take this question or should I?
Yeah. See, there is a widespread coverage of rain in all our key addressable markets. Even if you see Telangana got another rain recently, and Maharashtra, Karnataka also received good rainfall. So in those markets where we are operating, where you have significant mileage in terms of brand connectivity, we don't anticipate any problem. Channel inventory is significantly higher compared to last year around the same time, but we don't see any challenge from our point of view.
And final question on the MRP, you mentioned that we will consider. Is it likely at the end of Kharif, because we are seeing a steep fall across, even as you mentioned, phosphate acid has come down and other products, I mean, other RM also has come down. So should we expect a MRP cut in the next month itself, or we will wait for Rabi starting to go ahead and announce the cut?
In terms of the price variations, we have to see some months. Jayashree said rock prices are holding steady. And also, I think we are seeing the bottom in terms of the global commodity prices. In fact, there is some slight uptick in international prices of DAP, urea in the recent past.
we have to wait and see, and also there can be a potential correction in the subsidy going forward as well. So we will take a view after we have some visibility on how the NBS rates are going to be for the Rabi season, and then take a call appropriately.
Got it. So as of now, next couple of months, we don't anticipate either a subsidy or MRP. That is, if I can.
No.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on good set of number. Sir, on complex fertilizer, I mean, overall, as last year, we produced roughly 35 lakh ton. I think that is the probably best utilization. If you can see, with the DAP manufacturing hardly 4 lakh ton. So almost 85% plus is a complex fertilizer production. So do you see that this year we have further scope for any change in mix and further manufacturing of complex fertilizer while continuously going for trading on DAP, and how much utilization we can increase further?
See, our preference always be to focus on NPK production, and given opportunity on imported DAP at a price point, it makes sense for us to import DAP rather than producing and release that capacity for NPK. And also within NPK, we choose the grades which meets our requirement, taking into input raw material prices, whether it's urea, ammonia, and phosphates. So that's the flexibility Coromandel enjoys, having a wide range of products. We can change over any train, which is the production line for the fertilizer, for any grade. So that optimization mix, we keep doing it even within NPKs. So our utilization will be more or less the same as last year, because we also did well. And also we use different type of input raw materials, which can increase the throughput. And we also continuously work on improving the uptime of machinery through digital enablement of our maintenance practices, improved uptime and availability of machines. So we do expect incremental volumes to come through productivity measures, better raw material mix, as well as change in product mix. So production also throughput changes depending on the grades we produce. So we keep deploying this depending on what subsidy we get and what raw material input prices are.
Jashi ma'am also mentioned that you will continuously invest in fertilizer business. However, the growth in the fertilizer industry still will remain muted, or maybe at best 3-4%. So is it something we are looking at, that acquiring any assets, and that is what going to drive the efficiency and make the business more sustainable for us? Because if we keep on investing from the current base, the markets may not be growing in that direction, right? So how we plan to grow in the fertilizer business?
With the increased demand for food grains, and also the change in dietary pattern, the fruits and vegetable segments, horticulture segment is growing, and which requires nutrient, and India still continues to be the lowest consumption of nutrient across the globe. So going by the trend, and with the shrinkage in arable land, the need for yield improvement is always there. So we'll be definitely looking for enhancing our capacity and coming up with the products which can improve the yield. So it may not be the same genetic grades of DAP and traditional NPKs. It can be coated fertilizers, slow release fertilizers, and fertilizers which can improve the fertilizer use efficiency. And we have enough space to operate in our key addressable markets where we are currently. And definitely we will look to grow the volume. But first we will evaluate our brownfield expansions, which means increasing our capacity within our existing facilities before we look at any other organic or greenfield. So we feel with the increased demand for fertilizers, we have positioned ourselves, there is enough scope to increase the volume and increase the capacity utilization or add on capacities in our existing facilities.
So sir, do you still envisage roughly double-digit growth for fertilizer business in terms of volume sustaining for next 3-4 years? Is it possible?
It's very difficult to predict. It has got various factors in terms of monsoon and the spatial distribution of monsoon and the pricing of fertilizers. So we don't want to give, but direction-wise, we would like to grow the volumes, and we feel there is enough space for us to grow the volumes.
Sir, just a couple of bookkeeping questions. What is the debt number right now, and what is the phosphoric acid prices current contract right now?
$850 is the phosphoric acid price. And what is the first question? Is it debt or DAP? I'm not clear. Debt means JC will respond.
Sir, debt number. Yeah, what is the debt on the book right now?
So we don't have debt in the books. We don't have any borrowings. There could be some very short-term working capital limits that we avail, which primarily is for managing the day-to-day operations. There are arrangements with the buyers where they extend credit for our imported.
So even short term or working capital, there is no debt right now on the balance sheet.
No, we have some working capital facilities and debt that will always be there, but it's nothing for a long term. Yeah.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for our question and answer session. I would now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the interest and the very interesting set of questions. Due to time constraints, this is as much that we could take, and I know there are still few questions in the queue. Feel free to reach out either to me or to Anush, and we'll be happy to engage with you. Thank you again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for the questions that were not answered, you can contact the management offline. Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.